Hello, and welcome to another episode of Moon Talk Radio. It's Grey Dale Martez Harris, and I'm here to talk to you about the power of letting go. How is everybody doing in 2022 so far? I know we've definitely had some revolutionary times in our lives as a society since 2020. I've been thinking a lot about Back to the Future and how it was set in 2020. I think, or was it Back to the Future 2 that was set in 2020? And the number itself of 2020, which is 0110110, which is 1111. And how significant the number 22 is in general and 11 is in our lives. 11 is significant to us for many reasons. It's a glyph. It's a number. It's a symbol. Within the tarot, it represents justice most of the time, although sometimes it can be switched with the strength card. So sometimes Leo is the symbol of 11, which is strength, the female magician. But most of the time within the tarot, it represents Libra, which is talking about balancing things in your life and weighing things. It's very important to see the power of Libra because Libra is a scale. Everything is weighed on a scale. Even a feather, when it comes down onto the scale, it's 0.3.79 decimals or something like that. If you blow on a scale, it moves it. It's hinting at the idea that this is just what Libra does, or this is just what we do within ourselves or within this area of our lives. We weigh things. We weigh it. Is it heavy? Is it light? Is it important? Is it significant? How significant is it to us versus our own personal reasoning? It's almost like the idea of holding a hot plate. If you hold a hot plate and it's burning you, what's going to happen? You're going to drop it because you don't want to continue being burned by this hot plate unless there's something that's causing you to suffer and to grip it. There's a reasoning. There's an emotional reasoning behind it. Which is why Cancer and Leo are naturally square to each other, right? Because Cancer is ruling the feelings. Not Leo, Libra. I think I said Leo just then. Cancer and Libra are naturally square to each other, right? Libra is the third of the cardinal placements. Cancer is the second. Cancer is talking about your feelings, and Libra is talking about weighing things, right? Is it possible to weigh things without looking at your feelings? Sure, sometimes. That's what we learn in Libra. But it's a masterful thing, because anywhere within your natal chart is a square in your life. When it comes to Saturn, did that make sense to you? If there's a square, it's related to Saturn. So all of the cardinal placements are square each other. All of the fixed placements are square each other. And all of the mutable placements are square each other, which means that it makes a perfect right angle in, at the center of your chart. And those things are related to Saturn, which are related to your north node, which are related to your karma. So where you see Saturn placements in your life is talking about obstacles or challenges, places in your life where things are difficult and it requires time or mastery in order to get the vantage that you need and the understanding that you need in your life. If you're at the bottom of a mountain, you cannot see the other side. You must go up the mountain. You can go up it directly. You can go up it all around. You can go up it on a diagonal, which is all hinting at the time it takes to get to the point of what it is that you need to see. But that's why Saturn rules time. But we all know that time is an illusion. That's why Saturn is exalted in Libra. Saturn, which rules Capricorn, the last of the cardinal placements, is the Three of Swords when it's exalted in Libra. And that's because Libra is saying it doesn't matter how much time it takes. It's more about the relating and how you choose to relate. For example, you could go into a grocery store or a gas station and meet somebody and talk to them for 8 minutes or 80 minutes and have such a significant conversation with them that you never forget for the rest of your life. Or you could be in a relationship with somebody for 8 years and it can be a significant relationship and you never forget that relationship for the rest of your life. So it's talking about how you choose to relate. It doesn't have anything to do with the amount of time it took. Getting back to the number 11. If you look at the number 11 itself, it's 1 and 1, which is a line and a line. And I see this in so many different aspects, right? It's not 1 plus 1, which equals 2, which is hinting more at Adam and Eve or more at the magician and the high priestess, which is this ability to come together to make a sequence, right? 1 plus 1 equals 2. Versus 11, which is saying one type of being and another type of being and them existing within their identity and never fully actually merging, but just having the equality or having the understanding or even the comfort of the knowing. Because Venus rules Libra and Venus also rules Taurus. And what did we learn from Taurus before we get to Libra, right? Because Venus is ruling Libra and it's ruling Taurus. In Taurus, Venus wants to feel comfortable and to have things. But in Libra, Venus wants to relate. Oh, you do it this way? I do it this way. Oh, you did that thing? Oh, I did this thing. And so it's almost hinting at the idea of Lilith and Eve. This idea of two existing beings, but the beings that do things in different ways. Lilith is like what is considered the dark side of the moon, which is hinting at the idea of the point of your emotions, because the moon itself is talking about what you feel and what you observe in your life and how you see things, right? The moon watches the earth. That's all it's doing. It's watching the earth. Ask the moon what happened during the dinosaurs, during the Great Wall of China, during the Great Pyramids. It was there circling around. So its job is to observe things and to take in things versus the aspect of Libra, which is how you're going to be objective about it, right? How you're going to weigh it. When you weigh something, it's affecting you emotionally, right? You decide if it has a lot of feeling for you or if it has a little feeling for you. And that's also connected to the other two cardinal placements, which is your identity, which is Aries, and your karma, which is the Capricorn placement, right? You naturally might feel more important about something because of your karma, your father, your mother, your family, your neighborhood, your siblings. Or you might feel in opposition with something because of your identity. That's what Aries is saying. Well, I'm just this. Well, I'm like this. So I'm using the number 11 and I'm talking about it cryptically and symbolically in these ways because this is how we determine and we weigh when it comes to the power of letting go, right? Cancer very much wants to hold on to things. It's the crab. That's what the crab does. Pincher. It squeezes. It holds on to things. It's the mom. It's like a mom not wanting to let her kids go. And because she emotionally loves them so much, but she also knows that they need to live their own lives, that they have to have their own experiences. So there's this understanding of when to let something go and when not to let something go. And in Libra is where you're weighing it. You know, should I hold on to this? Should I not hold on to this? And it's all relative to how you relate to something, right? How you choose to connect to it as well. That's why Gemini is trying to Libra. So if a meteor hit and we were all standing in the same room, we may all see the meteor hit at the same time. But how we feel about the meteor hitting is going to be different and relative to all of our own experiences. The meteor hits, maybe somebody's excited to see the meteor flying through the sky. Maybe somebody else is terrified. Maybe someone else is anxious. So it's all hinting at this idea of perspective and how it affects you personally. And then in it affecting you personally, you begin to make your own personal judgments. So this is why sometimes it can be really challenging to be objective about things. That's what we learned from air. I like to talk about, obviously, astrology, the moon, and the elements, and numbers and symbols when I'm using conceptualizations, when I'm talking about the concepts of the themes of what it is I'm talking about on Moon Talk, because it's relative for all of us. I always say, astrologically, it's important to know that all of the signs affect you. Every single sign affects you, and every single planet affects you. It doesn't matter if your sun is in Libra, or your sun is in Scorpio, or your sun is in Gemini, or you're in Aquarius, or, you know, your Venus is in Leo, or, you know, your Mars is in Capricorn. It doesn't matter. Every planet affects you. When you were born, the universe took a picture of you, cha-ching, and where the planets were placed at is you. And our universe works in circles. Everything comes back. 28 days for the moon, 365 days for the sun, this type of thing. So when planets return to a placement where you were born at, it's basically hinting at why certain things are significant for you. We are spending a lot of time exploring the galaxy, or we have been spending a lot of time exploring the galaxy. But in truth, we're going to go inside of ourselves and explore ourselves in order to go out into the galaxy. Because what was happening during 2020, COVID life, was we went through a pandemic, a world pandemic. I mean, it was literally almost biblical, like Noah's Ark kind of stuff. I think it's such a large concept for us that it's hard. It's challenging to relate. And that's what Libra wants to do. It wants to weigh. It wants to relate. Well, how important was the pandemic for you versus how important the pandemic was for someone else? Maybe somebody spent the whole time watching the news, Gemini, connecting to the news. So the way they feel about it is this. Maybe someone else never watched the news. Maybe somebody lost their roommate or their grandma or their child. And maybe somebody else didn't even get sick. So this whole idea of what's really happening, how important it is, and how it relates to you is very individual, even though it's happening en masse. The collective consciousness is more woke because of this. Regardless of how it affected you, the point is COVID touched everyone. people in Japan, people in Indonesia, people in New Zealand, people in, the United States, people in Chile, people in Canada, like everyone was affected by this. This was a world order experience. And that is really what I'm challenging you as well to bring awareness to. It's causing all of us to look at how we relate to something. And if we're looking at how we relate to something, we're looking at how we're going to greet it, how we say hi, and how we say bye to different things in our lives, different relationships, different versions of ourselves, different versions of our identity. Some of us said hi and bye to people. Some of us said hi and bye to our careers. Some of us said hi and bye to the places that we lived at demographically. And all of that was stimulated by the catalyst of COVID, which once again, we're getting back to the God number 0110110, which is 1111, which is 2020, which is 22 in the tarot, which is sometimes the Fool card, right? Because the Fool sometimes comes after the World, which is 21, and sometimes it's zero in some tarots, which is before the Magician, which is why the God number can also be 22, which can be broken down to 1111. 22 is 1111, because it can be 4, which can be 1111, which can be 1111, which can be 0110110. Okay? So it's all still connected together. This awareness of organically something symbolically or innately happening that affects all of us. Let's look at it a different way. Like the idea that the earth is a body and we are cells on the body, just like you have cells in your body. Your cells are busy working and doing what they do. You have red blood cells and white blood cells and enzymes and skin cells and, all kinds of things that naturally are functioning, right? None of those things are really concerned with what the other cells are doing unless they relate to the other cells, unless they say hi and bye to them somehow, unless they interact with them somehow. And that's kind of like us as human beings. We don't necessarily care about a lot of things that are going on unless we're subjectified to it or unless there's an awareness of it. Like if you get a pain in your hand, it's not just the cells in your hand that know that your hand is in pain. Your whole body knows that your hand is in pain. There's a neurological message that came from your brain down to your hand and back up to your brain to tell your hand to hurt. So the whole body understands that your hand is in pain. It's like you watching the news and seeing a disaster that happens in Turkey or something. You're like, oh my goodness, those people, it was an earthquake over there and 1,000 people died. Oh my gosh. You can be aware of it and then you're going to weigh how it affects you. Do you know someone in Turkey? Do you have like an old colleague that is from Turkey that lives there? Do you have a child that moved over there? Did you live in Turkey at one point? Have you never visited Turkey and don't care anything about it? You're like, oh, those poor people, whatever. Were you thinking it's comical because you're a cynical person and you're like, ha, ha, ha. All of it is relative to your own personal experiences and how you choose to weigh things. I just saw 1919 on the podcast as I was doing this. 19 is the number of the sun, which is bringing awareness. So I'm using all of these examples to bring you back to this idea of the control or lack of control within certain things in your life. Real control is surrender, right? Trusting that the experiences and the knowledge and the know-how of your life is bringing you to the elements that you need to. A perfect example would be like parenting and allowing your child to go stay over at Billy or Sue's house for the weekend. Some parents never let their children stay over at somebody else's house, and some parents did. And a lot of that has to do with control, right? Trusting that you raised your child and they will know how to behave when you are not in their presence, that they will not embarrass themselves or you, or disrespect themselves or you, or hurt themselves or you by you allowing them to have more freedom to go off and have this experience without you. So there's this idea of interconnectivity, and how we are always affecting each other. Somebody might walk past a homeless person and cry because that person is homeless. They're thinking it's cold outside and they have a jacket. I wish I could give them a coat instead. And someone else who has millions of dollars might walk past them and not even care, not even notice them. And so it is kind of relative to how you see the world and the timing of things, the exposure and the awareness of self. And this is all tied to the ability to let things go. So I was hinting at the idea of control. Your parent has this control over you. So they know that they can let you go do this because they know that, like a boomerang, they're going to throw you out there and you're going to rotate back around to them. And everything that happened in your experience, although they might not know the details of the experience, the significance of it is still always going to be tied back to them. Because if anything happened that was significant, they're going to find out this was a great thing that happened, or this was a bad thing that happened while you stayed over there at Billy's house or Sue's house or whoever's house you are at. So there's this idea of the universe always exemplifying this centrifugal force and this synastry of how we're all tied to each other. And you think that you're not connected to the homeless person and you're not connected to the billionaire. But in actuality, you are. Just like the cells in the body are connected to you. We are all affected on the earth. We were all affected by what happened during COVID. And I say all of that to bring awareness to the collective consciousness. Collectively, there was a shift that happened within us. Our children are smarter than we are. We are going back to the future. This is the idea of programming and what it is for us and the importance of it. For example, you could have $1 million or you could have had $5 in your account, and neither one of those things were going to necessarily save you from COVID. We didn't have any vaccinations. We didn't have any cures. It was all about exposure, who you were around, your immune systems, your age, all these things that were more related to karma, your demographic, your locations, not how much money you had in your bank account. How much money you had in your bank account was insignificant. That's something that we create as men and women. We tell ourselves, this is what validates you. This is what validates your soul on the earth. You have this. You have two houses. You have a car. You have a condo. But to God and to spirit, everyone matters. Everything is significant. That's why matter is literally what we're made of. Like the atoms, the protons, the neurons, and all this stuff. We call it matter, mass and matter. Because all of those little particles are what make us up. So if you can't allow yourself to be plucked out of the system or out of the programming, now we're hinting at the matrix, then you're never truly going to be free. If you spend your life feeling like you're no one because you couldn't pay your bills, then you're never going to be free. You're a new slave. You're a slave to a system. You need validation for all of these things to make you feel like your identity is of worth. Nothing can tell you your worth other than you and God and the people that you choose to love. Your mom and dad, your husband or wife, your siblings, your children, your friends. These are the people who determine your worth, and you determine your worth in relationship to those people, hinting back again at 11 and Libra. Weighing things. Some people, mom's opinion is more than dad's opinion. I'll give you a perfect example. For me, I love my parents both so much, but I have more weight in my mom because she was there. She didn't abandon me. She raised me. She struggled her whole life to take care of me. And so when my mom says she's proud of me, it has more weight to it than when my father says he's proud of me. It still feels good to hear that my father is proud of me. It's nice, but it doesn't have the same significance in my life as my mother, because my mother struggled and I watched her struggle day in and day out, coming home in a masculine role, tired. I'm cooking meals for her. I'm rubbing her shoulders and her back because she was working so hard for us to survive, because karmically, we didn't ask to be here. And so she took on the responsibility, which was a responsibility of both her and my father, to take care of me and my sister. And so the time and the mastery, which is related to Saturn and Capricorn, is in opposition with Cancer, the mom and the feelings and the depth. And so that there's more weight and pull to it. I love astrology so much. I think it's so significant because it's really just an example, astronomy and astrology, of who we are. The planets are us. We are the planets. Do you ever stop to think that the planets are just it's an arena. It's a centrifugal force. They're circling around us. Just like if you were watching Gladiator or something and you're watching a tournament, that's how the planets feel about your life. They're watching you. They're circling around you. This is why it's important to know where you have exaltations and you have debilitations and you have squares, you have trines, and all of this can help you to better understand yourself. And the more you understand yourself, the less frustrated you are in society. Because you start to see where you have control and where you don't have control in your life. And the more knowledge you have about those things, yes, you can't control everything that you feel, but awareness of your feelings will help in the mastery of how you choose to relate and how you choose to show up in the room. When you float into a space and when you exit a space, it will help you weigh what you need to hold on to and what you need to let go of. The power of goodbye. Some goodbyes are forever. Some goodbyes are see you later. You say goodbye to your mom when you're on your way to school, but you know you're going to come home that evening. Some goodbyes are bigger. Maybe your husband's going off to the army And you don't know if he's going to come back alive. So that goodbye could be even more significant. So you're weighing in your life how important the goodbye is, the time to the goodbye, and the relationship that you have and the synergy that you have with that person in your life. But the ability to be present in your life on a day-to-day basis is what brings true happiness and joy. To see God in things. I wasn't going to say, but I just saw 3030 when I said joy just then on the podcast. 3030. To see God in everything, to understand that there is a fifth element, that there is spirit. God is spirit. God is love. To love is spiritual. You have the elements of fire, earth, air, and water. But the fifth element is spirit. Animals have spirit, but humans have a soul. So there's something even deeper and significant happening with the awareness of the centrifugal circle of life. The idea of circling. This is why God works in numbers and distance. That's why we can measure things from different times and distances, because it's actually scientific that the sun is going to return around 365 days, that the moon is going to come back around at 28 days, that there's a full moon and a new moon and a crescent moon and a waning moon and a waxing moon. And all of those things were still all the same centuries ago. That's why when you look at old astrology before the telescope, it's still in sync with the new astrological placements of a lot of things that we know. Before we had the telescope, we didn't know that we had Uranus and we had Neptune and we had Pluto. So Saturn was ruling Aquarius. Mars was ruling Scorpio. Jupiter was ruling Pisces. But then once we got those planets, we assigned Pluto to Scorpio, Uranus to Aquarius, and Neptune to Pisces. But if you look at all of the decans or the decans, it's all still significant. It's a circle. 360 degrees is a circle. 365 days the sun goes around us. This is our synastry. This is our lives. This is the understanding of our life path. It's very arrogant of us as human beings to think that there's no other life force out there, that there are no other living beings, that God isn't the God of all things, that you weren't here before even. The idea that you are always you, you are always you. When you relate to certain things that you read in history and you're like, I don't know why I read that. Sometimes I read certain things. I read about Persephone. I read about Helen of Troy or Pocahontas or the Christ. And I feel so strong in the relationship to those things. But I understand it as well. I'm Native American, African American. I literally do have Cherokee in me. I have Kenyan blood, which is mitochondrial DNA from Africa. So there are certain things that I understand that just innately make sense inside of me. To put this in a different way, think of it this way. You were an ovary inside of your great-great-grandmother. You were an ovary inside of your great-great-grandmother. In other words, you were already existing then inside of her. So the stories that she experienced are your stories. Time is an illusion. If you think you were tied to this, you were tied to it. That's why when you see the Torah or the Quran or the Bible, they talk about covenants to God or to Allah and all this type of stuff. It's talking about the relationship of the blood. in your family and in your life, the sinistry of different things. Isaac and Ishmael and all these different things. It's just another example of the meteor hitting the earth and different regions on the earth experiencing something and calling it what it is. You know, if a meteor hit the earth, I like to use that as an example because it's like Armageddon, deep impact kind of moment where it's like everybody's seeing this thing happen. But it depends on your perspective of where you are when it happens. Are you in India? Are you in Africa? Are you in South America? Are you in North America? If you guys aren't all connected to each other, which we can't really understand because Neptune is in Pisces, so we have the looking glass. We can literally look in our phone at Instagram and watch a child in Indonesia go out into the backyard and play with its friends. So this whole idea, we can look in Tokyo, we can look at Antarctica at the drop of a hat. But in actuality, it took thousands and 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 thousands of years for us to be able to do that now. But really, who's to say that we couldn't do it before? That's hinting at Atlantis. If God flooded the earth with water, and then we talk about Atlantis and we talk about all these different things, we talk about aliens and how did the pyramids get here and all this stuff, because it's not on our timeline. Just because it's not on our timeline doesn't mean it didn't happen. Perfect example. I was thinking to myself, when was electricity invented a couple of months ago? I might have been like almost a year ago. I was like, when was electricity invented? And I always talk to Siri. So I asked my phone, Siri, when was electricity invented? And then Google popped up like three different examples of when electricity was invented in the 1800s by like three different people. And it wasn't Benjamin Franklin, because we all know Benjamin Franklin didn't really do it. And I was like, this doesn't seem right though. Like 1800s was when electricity was invented. Like in my soul, I was like, this isn't what it is. And then I asked Siri, when was electricity discovered? And Google sent a search out and it said, Tullius was playing with amber rods in 6000 BC when he discovered electrical currents. I mean, my mind was blown. I'm like, 6000 BC? That's like before our timeline even. Amber is a natural, like organic part of the earth. And so is lightning. Lightning is a natural element that we see in the sky. We're able to harness the lightning somehow in the amber rods. Just think about magnets even. Magnets attract and they repel each other. So if they're repelling each other, that means that it's hovering. You know, when you're trying to push two magnets together and it just won't do it, it's gravitating, it's levitating. This is how we're going to get to the place where we have flying cars. But who's to say that we didn't have this type of stuff before? That's why it's back to the future. I said all of this just to stimulate your mind, your body, and your heart, to get you out of your regular programming and to help you say goodbye to old concepts and old theories of life, for new concepts and new theories of life. Because the truth is, collectively and consciously, we know that we're going to leave this planet. We always knew that the planet would destroy itself. But it's beyond that. Now with COVID hitting and happening to us, we're aware that we may kill each other, that the weakest of us, we are only as strong as our weakest link. So if we have these rich, powerful people And they need to get smart. Like, they're stupid. They're so smart that they're stupid. Like, they don't want to pay attention to God. And God is embarrassed with us. They, she, him are embarrassed at us to the point that they may destroy us. A man ate a bat and COVID happened. Yeah, right. Okay, that was a portal for demonic forces and spiritual forces to come through and to connect and to spiritually make things happen, to bring awareness to things. Okay, but if you don't believe in spirit, then you cannot protect yourself or the people you love because you don't even believe. It's like, how can you not see God in a plant? You're watering the plant. You see it growing. You see flowers coming out of it. You see it leaning towards the light, photosynthesis. Like, you see these things happening. You see the spirit of the plant moving on its own. But you can't believe in God or in spirit? That's very frightening. And so our children are smarter than us. You know, they want to go backwards with things. You know, they're starting to see the Matrix for what it is. It's like in the Matrix, the movie, the happy people were the people in caves that had rags on and were dancing around to rave music. Versus the people who thought they had everything that they wanted in the Matrix, but it was a fantasy. They were plugged into a programming. It was plugged into their brain stem. Your brain stem is your life force. So I challenge you to humble yourself, to see yourself as equal to someone else, and to see someone else as equal to you, regardless of what they have. It's more of how they treat you, how they treat themselves, how they carry themselves, the amount of respect they have for themselves, the amount of respect they have for you, how comfortable you feel with yourself, how comfortable you feel with them. Say goodbye to the old version of yourself and be born again. Thank you for listening to Moon Talk Radio. This is Gray Del Martez Harris. If you have any questions, you can email me at radiomoontalk@gmail.com.